Hallelujah. Let's look at one scripture from that. Let me just review just a little bit. Well, first of all, we said that Jesus in Matthew 28, didn't he? Matthew 28, Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's go to Matthew 28. I'm just going to review just for a few minutes and we'll get moved forward. Hallelujah. Verse 18 says this, beginning at verse 18, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. How many think Jesus is a pretty good source? If he commanded it, how many think we should obey it? Amen. And we looked a little bit further over here in Matthew chapter 3. We go back a little bit, excuse me, the other direction. Verse 13 here. We see in 13, it says, then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said to him, suffer to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. Now, what was Jesus doing being baptized? See, the thing that we don't understand sometimes is many of the Jews didn't think they would need to be baptized. See, under the old covenant, they had opportunities to join into the Jewish race. And so if they were going to do that, one of the things they did is they were baptized, signifying that they were leaving their old race behind, whatever they were, whateverite they were. Maybe they were a Canaanite or a Jebusite or something else, and they want to come over into the Jewish faith. And they would be baptized as one of those things, lay themselves down, there they go, they went under the water, and they came up a different race. See, signifying I'm dying to my old race. In the same way, Jesus is signifying here. He's saying, I'm going all the way to the cross because I'm going to be buried and I will be raised again. And he was also decreeing to the Jews that it is going to be necessary for you, even though you have the law, and even though you think you're so pure and holy that you don't need to be baptized, you will need to be baptized. You will need to understand that you are going to have to lay down your life so that you may pick up the very life of God. You're going to have to die, yes, even to the Jewish religion, and come into a place of new life in Christ Jesus. And he signified that. And in Jesus being baptized, I think it's a good idea, amen, to follow Jesus into baptism. If you've never been baptized, or even if you were baptized, and you say, well, I've got some things that I might want to lay down and leave under the water as a act of faith. Let your faith come alive. If you're going to be baptized, don't do it without faith. How many know that whatever we do, we should do in faith, believing God? Because it's not just going down under the water. It is signifying something. Just like when you take that juice and you take that cracker, right? And you remember what Jesus did. It represents something. This baptism represents something. That you died in Christ. And that you're coming alive into a newness of life. That you died to the old man Adam, to the Adam race. And I'm being exalted into a new species of being that didn't exist before. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or a new species of being that didn't exist before. Do you understand? God never existed on the inside of man before since Adam. Since Adam and Eve, he's never been inside of man. Now, he wasn't Adam and Eve. But the day they sinned, they died spiritually on the inside. See, that's why he was saying to Adam, Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? He knew where they were physically, but he also knew that they had died spiritually on the inside. Where is my man, Adam? Where did he go? He's died. I've lost my man, Adam. I can't find him anywhere. And God hungered to have man come where he could live on the inside of him and be one with him. He so wanted it that he said, I'm going to send my son Jesus. And Jesus came and lived as that perfect man. And here he was baptized, decreeing and saying, I'm going all the way to death, but I'm going to be raised to life so that your sins would be washed away. Hallelujah. How many know God was well pleased? He said, this is my beloved son. The Holy Spirit filled him. And he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And when you're baptized and you lay down that old Adam, that old sin nature, you're remembering as an act, an outward act, saying, this happened to me, and by faith, I'm laying down anything in my life that's not like Jesus, and I'm going to come up a new man. I'm leaving it under the water. I'm leaving it there, and I'm going to come up alive in Him. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm telling you, baptism can be a wonderful thing. It can declare, it can be a very spiritual thing for you. But we've got to ignite our faith with it. We've got to release our faith on it. We need to realize who we really are. And we talked about that last time a little bit over here. Let's turn real quick over to Peter for a minute. Hallelujah. 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 Where is that verse, Lord? 1 Peter 2:5. That's right. 1 Peter 2:5. Hallelujah. How many know? See, we weren't left sinners when you got saved. You were really, truly changed on the inside of you. You became a different species of being. But how many people, you know, did you see a difference right away? No, you received it what? By faith. We are saved by grace what? Through faith. And when we're baptized, we want to be baptized in faith, with the faith of God, saying, I understand what happened to me. I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm not the same. I died to that old sin nature. Oh, I'm coming up alive. Praise God. Praise God. Anything that was on me, I'm going to leave it. I'm going to let it die. Hallelujah. Where am I? 1 Peter. Hallelujah. 1 Peter. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Hallelujah. I'm still reviewing, aren't I? I guess I'm preaching too. We're moving on at the same time. We're doing both. It says, but ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. How many ever heard Jesus say, if we don't praise Him, He said, these rocks will cry out. Anybody remember that? You are that rock that's crying out. You are that lively stone. Hallelujah. Why? Because you've been born again. We're lively stones. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. We would say a living stone. Hallelujah. A living being. That's you and I. We're living stones, glory to God, not dead ones. Lively stones are built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up something, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Who else can praise Him in spirit other than you? See, because your spirit was made new. Because you were born from above. You have a new father. You're not bound by the father. The devil was our father. Amen. When he deceived Adam and Eve, they lost their place. They lost their authority. They lost their position with God. Sin had taken over and God was no longer their father. They died. They died under the penalty of sin. The moment they ate of that fruit. It didn't look like they died. They didn't immediately die physically. Eventually they did. But that spiritual death took place just like that. And they knew. They already knew the difference between good and evil just like that. Before they had no knowledge of it. And that's kind of hard to understand too, isn't it? You know, because we haven't lived there. But they lived in a place where they had perfection. They didn't know they were naked. They didn't have knowledge of good and evil. But how many know when you receive Jesus, we are restored to the same place that the first Adam had, spiritually, on the inside. Now, on the outside, we're not yet. He had a glory, glorified, how many know he was clothed in what? The glory of God, wasn't he? The first Adam was clothed in the glory of God. Now we're clothed what? In the glory of God, in our spiritual man, on the inside, in the hidden man of the heart. But our outward man, how many know, it hasn't been glorified yet. Anybody in here, know that? Have you figured that out yet? See that outward man, this flesh part of us, and some of our fleshly thinking and our soul. Amen. The fleshly soul hasn't fully, it still affects us sometimes. How many know emotions are real? They can't just be dismissed, can they? They affect us. They have to be changed. And here he said, we can offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices of praise to the Lord. Our spiritual what? Worship, the Bible says in Romans 1. We present our body. It's a spiritual worship to God. It's an acceptable sacrifice. Why? Because we've been changed on the inside, see? If you haven't been born again, there ain't no sense in getting baptized. What happened? What happened to a person that hasn't been born again? Nothing. Now, they might get born again if they can understand what's going on. They might say, hey, here we go, but we died with him. We were raised. We became a lively stone, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And we can offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He said, I am seeking such to worship me, what? In spirit and in truth. What is he saying? When he was talking to them, they weren't yet born again in chapter 14. John 4. She wasn't yet born again. Woman at the well, was she? Said, I'm looking for such to worship me. How many know we can worship him? In our newness of life, from the inside out, in spirit, because we're alive to him. We don't have to wait and get ourselves all lathered up and get over in the Spirit. We're in the Spirit if we're born again because our spirit was made alive to him. You're already there. Then what do we have to do? We just have to begin to lift our hands and worship him. See, when my spirit lifts its hands, my outer man does too, doesn't it? Because I need this outer man to stay in this earthly region. I have to have it. If I don't, I can't stay here. You wouldn't see me, would you? If my spirit man steps out, well, you might see him. But if you did see him, what would he be made of? He'd be made of spirit, wouldn't he? Whatever that is, that spirit substance. Well, we know this here. This is made of what? Well, electrons in there, neutrons, protons. a whole bunch of other things. DNA, right? Down to the DNA, as you can't see. Everybody's different. Isn't that amazing? Even though we came from the same species of being, we all came. Like it or not, we all came from Adam and Eve, Noah and his family. We all came in the same place. Yet, every single one of us has a different DNA. It may be similar to other people. It may be similar to your mom and daddy, but it isn't the same. It's still different. Isn't that something? Isn't God awesome? And He knows it. He knows all about it. The things you can't see, He already sees. And sometimes we don't see everything He's doing. But He's working, amen? Hallelujah, He's working. We are a peculiar people. We've been raised. We're lively stones. We have a spiritual worship to Him. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory to God, I'm not getting anywhere in my new place, am I? I'm not preaching the same message again. I'm just getting us to understand. But I want to share some things here because there is a power in baptism. The power of God can be released if we'll use our faith. Just like the power of God can be released when you take that bread and you take that little cup of wine and you remember what Jesus did. See, we're remembering what He did for us when we were born again. I was buried into Him. I was raised with Him. I am in a newness of life with Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, let's go over there. I keep saying that, so let's go to Romans 6 just for a second, and then we'll get started here in this other. Because really, this is what we talked about last week, that we didn't stay the same when we were saved. We were born again and changed. Hallelujah. All right. Verse number 4 says this. Well, let's back up a little bit further. Let's just start at 1. Romans 6, 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Don't you know? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Now here he's really not talking about the water baptism, but the symbolic, that hey, we were baptized. When He went into the grave, you went into the tomb. It's identification with Jesus. When He raised from that tomb, you were raised out of that tomb. You were in Him. He reconciling us unto the Father. Hallelujah. But here it says, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. And that is exactly what we're doing when you're being baptized. It is displaying and showing forth the very fact that you died with Him. Hallelujah. How many know? Jesus suffered under that penalty. You were in Him. He took your place. We should have been the ones that went there, right? We were the guilty party. How many here? Anybody in here? Is there one person that could say, I've never sinned? Is there one? And if there is, we're going to help you find out that that's not true. Because the Bible says, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, who is Jesus. Amen. He was the example. He was the only man. We had to have a man to take our place. Do you understand? Man for man. Man for mankind. We had to have someone just like us. God knew it. He planned it. He and Jesus. Jesus said, I'll go down and redeem them. Holy Spirit said, I'll go down and I'll fill them. I'll empower them. And here we see what happened to us But that's what baptism in the water is. It's a picture of what took place. And if we'll put our faith saying, hey, I died with Jesus. I'm going under. Here I go. I'm coming up into the newness of life. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! I've been changed. I am free. Look what happened to me. Do you see it? Can you see that picture? See what happened on the inside of you? When you said, you mean all that happened? Yeah. When you just said, Jesus, be my Savior. I believe that you are Lord. Romans 10:9-10. I believe that you were raised from the dead. I believe. Hallelujah. And by faith. Didn't look like anything happened. Maybe it didn't feel like anything happened. But on the inside of you, you were changed. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. And we received it by faith, didn't we? There's a lot of things we receive by faith. Amen. Throughout the Bible. How many know we pray in tongues by faith, don't you? How many know the next word you're going to say when you pray in tongues? Anybody? No, you don't, do you? Hallelujah. Isn't that something? It comes by faith, see? There's a lot of things. And by faith, we were saved through that grace that was given to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It was something we didn't deserve, but we received it, what? By faith. Amen. How many know? We can speak to the mountain, right? And by faith, receive healing, receive provision, receive a new car if we need one. Amen. God doesn't mind. It's okay to ask. He commands us to. But see, we receive it what? First by faith. And then it's manifested in our life. And so when we're talking about this baptism, I want us to get our faith and what happened to us when we were born again. And what is available to us. And if there's something that's holding us back, or if you're struggling in something, let's think about it. Say, Lord, maybe I want to get baptized. If you haven't been, or even if you had been, you say, well, I'm going to take another baptism because I'm getting this, Pastor Doug. I'm understanding now. Woo, I'm going to let that thing go under that water, and I'm going to come up in newness of life. I'm going to put my faith on it. And outwardly, yes, it's showing what took place on the inside of me. But I'm going to seal it with my faith when I'm put under that water. Bless God, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of the King. And I'm going to walk in the righteousness that He made me. Bless God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let the things of this world hold me down because I've been changed. Glory to God. Woo! And I'm going to let that new life shine and live in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! That's good preaching, Pastor Doug. That's good preaching. I'm telling you, we are changed. Don't stay the same. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let religion lie to you. Don't let what anybody else said. No, I'm going to take the word of God that I'm a new man on the inside. Glory to God. I can walk with Him. I can follow Him into a place called baptism. Hallelujah. And I can show forth His praises. Praise God, is something that takes place on the inside of us. There's people that have been delivered when they got baptized. Do you understand that? There's some people that got filled with the Holy Ghost when they got baptized. Came up speaking in tongues. I'm not saying you have to, but it can be a spiritual experience if we'll set our faith out there. Just like when you take communion, how many know you can receive a healing taking communion? If what? We'll get our faith on the healer. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! Jesus, how many believe? Jesus is also what? The deliverer, isn't he? He's the Savior. What does that mean? Delivered, safety, soundness, wholeness. We come into him, the fullness of God, into the life of God. And we're going to let go of things that have been distractions or things that have tried to hold us back. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at Acts 2:14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. I want to go through a few places, several places, and you'll see how prominent baptism was in the New Testament. It's kind of shocking, to be honest. It's a little surprising. Verse 14 says, but ye denied the Holy One, Chapter 2, verse 14. I thought that sounded a little strange. I said, wait a minute. It says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and what? With his brethren. They had continued. They're moving forward. Now, let's, wait a minute. That's the wrong verse, too. That's chapter 1. I am so sorry. I got it wrong. All right, take that out, Joseph. We just mark that down, whatever time that is. Take that scripture out. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Let's all take a little laugh. It's okay. Laugh, laugh, laugh. It's kind of funny. I apologize. You know what? If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at? Amen. I thought that. I said, that ain't the right verse either. Okay. May have to take a little bit out there, Joseph. Acts 2.14. You can say that one for a bloop or something. Acts 2.14. Here we go. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto you my words. And Peter began to preach to them about the gospel of Jesus. He said, these people aren't drunk, as you suppose. It's just the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, it's going to come to pass in these last days that God's going to pour out of his spirit. And he goes on to say, and if we go on to verse number 37, skip down to 37, it says, now when they heard this, they heard about Jesus, okay? He was preaching to them, and he began to exclaim to them the gospel of Jesus, and he began to tell them what's happening. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What shall we do? What are we going to do? He said, repent and be baptized. Very interesting. It seemed to me, as we go through here, we're going to go again. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 5, Acts 8, verse 5. And we're seeing some places here in the New Testament where they were baptized. Now, verse 5 says this, then Philip went down into the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. Verse 12 says this, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They believed and were baptized, weren't they? Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Of course, later on, you know, verse 15, just real quick, a side note here. Who, when they had come down, Peter and James came down later. It says here, Peter and John came down later, excuse me, not James, but John. Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. How many know after you get saved, they were already saved, they even got baptized. So sometimes people say, well, I got all the Holy Ghost I got when I got saved. Well, this is a good scripture right here. you can share with them. After they got saved, after they got baptized, they went down and they led them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. That's just a little side note. But anyway, we're talking about different places here. They were baptized. Acts 9, verse 1 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." So here's Saul, and he goes to the high priest. And how many know what happened to Saul? Hallelujah. Verse 17 and 18. It says this, And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. He was told to go. How many know what happened to Saul? He was breathing out threatenings, but he had an experience with God and he was born again. He got knocked off his high horse of all of his pride, thinking, "I'm doing the right thing. I know what I'm doing. I know the law. I am a man of the law of God, and I'm going to kill these Christians because they shouldn't be doing this." He didn't quite yet realize who was Lord. But how many know what happened when he fell off his horse? He saw the bright light, heard the voice. "Why do you kick against these pricks, Paul? Why are you hurting these people? Why are you persecuting them? Why are you threatening them? Why are you putting them in prison, Paul?" Saul, he didn't become Paul yet. But Saul, "Why are you doing it? Who art thou, Lord?" Amen. How many know? When God comes on the scene, you realize who he is. Amen. We've all had our day where we had to realize, "Jesus, you are Lord and I am not." Saul realized, "You must be Lord because I'm not." And he tells him to go to Damascus, and then God tells Ananias here in the 17th verse. He says this, and Anna, you know, he tells him to go down to the pray for Paul because he's seen a vision, and he said, "I want you to go lay hands on him." And Ananias says this, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee under the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And verse 18 says this, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized," wasn't he? Hallelujah. Well, here we see Paul. He just got saved. Philip got a bunch of people saved. They were what? Baptized. And here Paul, he got saved, and obviously he laid hands on him. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, Saul, Paul, well, we're remembering later he was called Paul, so I'm talking about the same person if I get mixed up. But this is Saul before he became him. His name was later changed to Paul. He didn't want to go by the same old name, so he changed his name. How many know there can be power in a name? Amen. He wanted to be a different name. And immediately, those scales fell. He was filled and he was baptized. Let's go to Acts 10. A few chapters over here. This is about eight to ten years after Pentecost. And how many remember the centurion? Here, Cornelius. He went and sent for Peter. He saw an angel. An angel said, "Go to Joppa and send for Peter," a man named Peter, Simon the Tanner, in other words, he said. That was Peter. And he said, "You tell him to come and he will preach to you and tell you these things." How many know angels? That's a good thing to remember. Angels don't preach the gospel, but men do. Amen. So if you got an angel preaching the gospel to you, beware. Test those things. Amen. Sometimes they can come and give you a message. There's times when angels gave messages, say, "Hey, go here, go there," but they did not preach the gospel to anyone. You won't find it in the Bible. They never preached the gospel to them. All right, but here we have that instance here, verse 44. 10, verse 44. Acts 10. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. So he's preaching to them the gospel. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Can we forbid them to be baptized? You see here, we see again, this is another instance where they saw, they believed, and they were baptized. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Do you see a common thread here yet? Hallelujah. Acts 16, verse 26. I'm going to begin with verse 26 through 34 here. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. How many know what's going on here? This is where This is where Paul and Silas went to jail. What is my deal with names tonight? Help me, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. But Paul and Silas went to jail for preaching the gospel. They were obeying God. How many know sometimes you get in jail for obeying God? So they did the right thing. And at midnight, they began to pray and sing praises to God. And what? The prisoners heard them. And so here they are, they're in the prison, and things are happening. Hallelujah, because of their prayer and their praises. And it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that all the prisoners had been fled. He thought they all left. All the doors of the prison. Now, this may be a greater miracle than just the earthquake. All the prisoners just stayed there. Paul told him, wait a minute. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway, right away. They were what? Baptized, weren't they? He and all his house. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, rejoicing, believing in God with all his house. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many think baptism was a little important here? Acts chapter 18. Acts 18, a couple chapters over here. Says, after these things, verse 1, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And then if you'll drop down to verse 8, he's in Corinth. And here it says, and 18, sorry, verse 8, and Cyprus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Hallelujah. How did they know they needed to be baptized? They must have heard something about being baptized. See, baptism is part of the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world, what? And preach the gospel, baptizing them. Can you see a little importance put on baptism here in the New Testament? How many do you want? How many do we need? There's several cases here. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you. Let's take that step of baptism. I know it doesn't save you. You're already born again. We know that from the thief on the cross, don't we? Jesus says, I'll remember you in my kingdom. He didn't have time. He didn't have any opportunity to be baptized, did he? Yet he was saved, and you're saved too. But we are decreeing, we're declaring something. There's a power in baptism. There's a power that can take place if we'll set our faith in it. If we'll begin to say, hey, I'm going to get baptized by faith, I'm pulling under that water. That old man of Adam is dying. I'm coming into the new race. Hallelujah. The new species of being that lives unto God, that is alive to Him, that walks in what? A newness of life from the inside out. I'm going to let that thing go, and I'm going to come forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory to God. Now, there was this, and there was a turning away from things. When they were baptized unto repentance, when John was baptizing people, let's go back for a minute to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Are you seeing something here, folks? Anybody learning anything? Are you getting a little picture tonight? Hallelujah. I'm trying to paint it. I'm doing my best. Hallelujah. If you got any more questions, I'll be glad to talk to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 3. Let me get the right chapter first. Make sure. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, John said, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with power. And here I want you to see here for, you know, it means the turning away from something. For the Christian, of course, it's turning away from sin, the act of sin. Any kind of sin in your life, maybe you were a thief before, but now you're no longer. You don't steal things from the office anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Hopefully. Unless you work at home, you know, and you bought them yourself. But anyway, hallelujah. You know, we don't do that anymore, do we? We turn away. We turn the other way. And we should repent from those things. And our lifestyle, okay, we don't have a lifestyle of stealing any longer. We don't have a lifestyle of sinning any longer. We're not bound to it. Hallelujah. So it was a baptism of repentance was not going to be enough for them, was it? When John was there, he said, there's one coming after me. This is portraying and showing what's going to happen to you. See, they were baptized in repentance to the coming of Jesus who was going to pay the price. Can you see that? Here's where you're going to be, you know, you're going to die to that old man. You're going to raise to newness of life. Right now I'm going into repentance from what was into what shall be. Amen. They were decreeing something too. And we got to take, you know, a look at some things. John, don't you realize, they would say, hey, John, don't you realize I have a sin nature, I don't have a new nature? So what's the significance of John baptizing them in water? He could say, I can't stop sinning. Jesus hadn't died yet. The opportunity to be born again was not there yet. They could say, well, I can turn away from some things. But John, what's the significance? What does this mean to me? This was the shadow. They were foreshadowing what was going to come. That Jesus was going to pay that price for them. And they're placing their faith in what Jesus was going to do. They were showing that forth, just like Jesus did. He said, I'm going all the way. When he went in the water here shortly after, right after that, I'm showing you the way. And he says, hey, Jesus is the one. Here he comes. He's what? The Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. He's come to be baptized by me. He didn't want to baptize me. He said, oh, I'm not worthy, Lord. I'm not worthy. But he said, you must. Because I'm going all the way to death. And I'm going to come back to life. they were showing it forth. But we have what the shadow was. You and I have that. And now when we are baptized, the real thing already took place. And we are saying, hey, I'm sealing this thing right now. I'm sealing it with God. I'm sealing it with me. I've been born. I'm dying to that old Adam, that old race of Adam. I'm coming into the race of God. Hallelujah. That new species of being that didn't exist before. Amen. And we do that, what? By faith, as we mentioned before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we got to get a vision of that. We've got to get ourselves, see ourselves, that we died with Him. We identified with Christ. We were in Christ Jesus when He died. And yes, it's already true, but we want to declare it. We're going to take a step, just like you take that juice and that wine, and you show the Lord's death till He come. We're showing our own death. I died with Jesus. I died to the race of Adam, the fallen race of Adam. I'm not bound into sin anymore. And I'm going to walk into newness of that life. Hallelujah. How many got faith to be baptized tonight? Amen. Amen. Sometimes it takes faith. When we hear the Word of God, faith can come. And we can, it can be exciting. You know, I've been to some baptismals, you know. Everybody's waiting, you know. Well, we baptize little Johnny in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Oh, isn't that great? Help him out of the water, sweetheart. That's wonderful. But do they really understand? There's a rejoicing that can take place. There's a power that can fall upon you if we'll let our release our faith. I'm coming up into the resurrection life. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! I've been raised. And we'll all shout with you. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We'll help you release the faith of God. Whatever it is in your life, we don't have to know everything. That's between you and God. But bring something. Think about it. Hey, I'm going to leave this. I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm not going to let, you know, myself be that way. I'm going to let fear rule me. I'm not let anxiety rule me. I'm not going to let what everybody else does to me define me. I'm going to be defined by Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to let that new life define me. I'm going to be that lively stone, that living stone. Glory to God, where I'm of a new family, a new race of people. I'm letting the human race go. Hallelujah. The race of Adam. I'm going to come into the newness of life in Christ. Glory to God. Woo! I feel like I could run the church tonight. Hallelujah, I might. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Father, that we were buried in Christ. We can identify with that, Lord, and that there's a truth in baptism, Father. And Father, as we see it, help each one of us, Father, that we can release our faith and receive, Lord, what we have received. Can be sealed and shown forth to all around us. With our brothers and sisters and with the world around us, we can rejoice. And we can declare, I'm a new person. I'm a new man. I don't have to stay bound. I am free. Oh, we thank you and we praise you for it, Lord. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, Father.